This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And good morning and welcome into another edition of the Diehards.
Let me be the first to wish you a happy Father's Day.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan in Boston. At the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East, we are fired up. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL. We're going to talk a little recap of Game 7 in the NHL. Oof. We'll do some MLB baseball. We'll talk about a couple of teams in the National League.
Some Wimbledon, some U.S. Open.
I don't think we're going to get to
some
Wimbledon.
Polo.
I don't think we're going to get there as well.
Some Canadian football.
But there is something happening in the NBA. Do you have any idea what it is? Did something happen?
I don't know. It's the offseason. What the hell could be going on?
The mega deal, the big trade, what everybody's been talking about for, it seems like, months now. Where is Anthony Davis going to go?
Where I'll tell is he you where going he ain't to play? Going. Right down the street here.
He's not going to Boston. Nope. He's going to L.A. as the Pelicans and the Lakers pull off a huge, huge trade deal.
And the fact that the odds changed yesterday on the Lakers implies what, Pep? Shenanigans. Shenanigans.
26-year-old forward Anthony Davis teams up with LeBron James, and the Lakers trade 21-year-old Lonzo Ball, 21-year-old Brandon Ingram, and 24-year-old Josh Hart, along with three first-round draft picks.
Shenanigans.
Including the number four pick in Thursday's draft. Now, of course, this can't be official in hand until after July 1st, and it could be a few days after that because of some shenanigan financial
moves. There
you
go, exactly.
Right?
So the kid will get drafted fourth by the Lakers. He'll have to put a Lakers hat on while he's buying real estate in New Orleans.
Doesn't that suck for him and his family? Like
he gets an extra free hat. Nothing wrong with that. I like free hat.
He works his whole life to get that picture with the commish and to have the hat and that whole picture, and it's going to be like the team he's not even playing
he
for.
He should have like a Pelican shirt underneath like Superman, rip his shirt off. Give the commissioner the finger and take a walk to New Orleans.
The key,
or show up with drinking a hurricane.
The key is the Lakers get to keep Kyle Kuzma, the 23-year-old power forward who averaged 18.7 points a game.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio. We are the Diehards. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, broadcasting live from our O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. We'll head out to Colorado once again. Joining us, BSN Rockies reporter Patrick Lyons is on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Patrick, welcome to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really great. Thank you, Anthony and Mark, for having me on today. I'm real excited.
Hey, man, is this team better or worse than you expected thus far in the season?
I think they're pretty much right around where I thought they would be.
Okay.
Maybe a tick below that. You know, they had a lot of injuries early on in the season with McMahon, Murphy, and Dahl going down, and that gave them a 3-12 start that they had to battle back from the entire season. And they're just finally now kind of hitting their groove. They've had a big homestand where they won 9 out of 10 to end the month of May, and they're just finally starting to click right now, and you're really seeing some of the best of their baseball of the season.
Hey, how good is the shortstop Trevor Story? I mean, 16 home runs, 46 RBIs, 12 steals, batting .284. How good is this kid?
He's phenomenal. He's got a good head on his shoulders, too, to boot. Super underappreciated. You know, last year probably should have been nominated for a Gold Glove Award, should have been one of the three finalists. He was probably just outside of that at fourth, but he's got a lot of range. And, you know, you ask Nolan Arenado how he feels about Trevor Story, and he'll even tell you that Story has more, you know, God-given abilities than even himself. His story's got a lot of raw power, and he can just really get behind a ball and drive it, as we saw last season where he hit three home runs in a single game, hit one when he went down to one knee and drove one 505 feet out to left field, the farthest that StatCast had calculated in all of 2018. So he's a real, real special player that gets underappreciated a bit.
Talk about the top prospect, Brendan Rodgers, got called up for a little while, a cup of coffee, sent back down. Was that just a matter of him getting a sniff of the majors, or what did you think when you saw him?
You know, he looked like he was going to be ready, and he had a really good start. Wasn't hitting the extra base hits, probably at the rate that they would like. Still hasn't gotten his first home run, but he was hitting over 300 during the first 2 weeks that he had come up to get an RBI in his first ever at bat. But, then I think pitching started to adjust a little bit on him. You know, he wasn't making the right adjustments. Ryan McMahon, who had been somewhat of his platoon partner at second base, was getting a few more of the starts. And, Rodgers had to kind of figure out, how do I stay fresh? How do I get hot when I'm coming off the bench late in the game? So that's something a lot of veterans will have a hard time to do. But, you know, when you're a 22-year-old rookie who just got called up a few weeks earlier, it's even harder to do. So he'll go back down to Albuquerque. He'll get a few more reps, plenty more starts, get some work at shortstop, second base, and hopefully come back and possibly even stick for the remainder of the season.
What else are we looking at in the minor league for depth-wise, as far as obviously it looks like the Dodgers are going to run away with it, you know, as everybody predicted. You're right in the battle with Arizona for the wild card. What can we look forward to kind of moves we make to make that run later on in the summer?
Well, a lot of the best young players for the Rockies have been making their way up to Coors Field, and they've been doing a good job of tapping into that. Peter Lambert, he's already had two starts, both of which came against the Cubs. He looked fantastic in both of those starts. And he's been the big guy that they've really tapped into from the starting pitcher's market. They got a guy by the name of Ryan Castellani, also in AAA. Not doing it quite as well with the numbers, but that's really hard to do when you're a pitcher in the Pacific Coast League. I know you guys are used to the International League numbers, but in Pacific Coast League, pretty much every ballpark's almost like a miniature version of Coors Field. So pitchers' ERAs can be, you know, somewhere around the low fives, and if you can be at a 4.5 ERA, you're damn near an ace. So the pitching is a little bit on the thin side as far as who they can tap into. But they do have a lot of prospects that they can use as trade chips, I think, ultimately, is going to be the big piece. The one guy that they have down in Albuquerque, Sam Hilliard, he's a five-tool player. You know, he strikes out a bit too much, but right now he's one of a very few group of players who have about 18 or 19 home runs as well as 12 stolen bases. So he's a big kid, 6'6", from Mansfield, Texas, and he can hit the ball a mile, and he can also swipe a base or two. So if he can ever figure out how to cut down on the strikeouts, he could be a real major threat for the Rockies in the future.
Patrick Lyons, BSN Rockies reporter, joining us here on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Again, we are the diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan in Boston, SB Nation Radio. Patrick, my standard question, I'm always curious, being from Boston, we're spoiled, we're a little jaded on what fan expectations are. It's championship or bust for us here, and we seem to, you know, want to win every single freaking championship, and quite frankly, we're getting pretty close. But I'm curious to get your take on the Colorado Rockies fan base. Where is that fan base and their head at right now with this team?
You know, the Rockies have a pretty rabid fan base. Depending on what happens in any given game, if you do go on Twitter, you will see some people saying some pretty crazy things. Probably not in the same abundance as you do in Boston or New York, which is an area that I'm from. I'm originally from New Jersey, so I've seen it from, you know, the Yankees fans, Mets fans, even Phillies fans.
Sure.
But the Rockies, they do a good job, and, you know, they made the playoffs last year for the second time in as many years. It was the first time they had gone to back-to-back playoff appearances. And with some of the additions that they made this offseason, particularly Daniel Murphy, it seemed as if all of the pieces were really starting to get in place for the team to make a run and win their first ever NL West. You know, they've been playing ball for 26 seasons now, and they've yet to raise a banner to say that they were the best in the entire National League West. Every time that they've made the playoffs, their four previous appearances, it's been through the wild card. So the Nuggets, you know, have been playing great out here, and they did fantastic throughout the season. The Broncos are always number one, and,
sure,
you know, they rose the championship not too many years ago in the Super Bowl 50. And, you know, the Avalanche are always contenders, even if they're, you know, an ace seed. So the expectations have been relatively high on the Rockies, and people are expecting that, you know, right now is the time in which they have the guys that are young enough. Nolan Arenado, of course, was locked up to a nice long-term extension. So he's going to be around for a while. But Trevor Story, as we talked about, he only has about three more seasons left before he becomes a free agent. And it's going to be hard for the Rockies to lock up every single one of their young guys, whether it be Kyle Freeman, David Dahl, Brendan Rodgers in the years to come. So this could be their window right now in the next couple seasons.
Yeah, talk about the depth. It's kind of an underrated outfield, I think, don't you think, with Dahl, Blackman, Desmond? I mean, you know, there's three names that people in Boston we don't really pay attention to. They got a little depth with a fourth outfielder like that. Is that an underrated outfield, offensively especially?
Most definitely, absolutely. All four of the guys that they have in their outfield right now, they're all, you know, center field caliber. You know, Charlie Blackman just moved over to right field after, you know, making a couple all-star appearances as a center fielder, as you well know. And I think one of the things that this front office and Bud Black in particular have really tried to do with this team is, you know, to really use the 25-man roster, really use all four guys that they carry on their bench, because it allows everybody to stay fresh. It gives everyone enough at-bats, and they've had everybody buy into it, most particularly Ian Desmond. You know, he's the guy that he got the highest free agent contract that the Rockies had ever given to a guy outside of the organization before. And although, you know, he struggled a little bit the past two seasons, last year, you know, quietly hit 20-some home runs, 80-some RBIs, but still kind of folks expected more. The front office got him to buy into this idea that, you know, we're going to keep you fresh and we're going to get the other guys a little bit more playing time. So it's been pretty much a 1/4 balance where everyone has gotten about a fourth of the at-bats. It's kept everybody fresh. It's kept Ian Desmond in the best shape of his life. You know, not too long ago, he hit his first inside the park home run after about 5,200 at-bats in the majors. You know, not bad for a guy in his early 30s. So they're doing a fantastic job. And Ryan Altapia has really stepped up. He was a guy who didn't have any options coming into the season. So it was either, you know, a make or break camp down in Arizona. And he absolutely made it, and he did a nice job when Charlie Blackman was injured. David Dahl was on the DL for a little while, and even when Desmond couldn't play. So you got four guys. You know, you're absolutely right, Mark. They're a little bit underrated right now, and they're quietly going about their business in the NL West.
Hey, Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the season, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, man?
Absolutely. Thank you, Anthony, Mark. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. There he is, Patrick Lyons, BSN Rockies reporter. Quick TO. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Diehards SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan in Beantown. We are the Diehards, broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East. Don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. It's your battery needs to be replaced. The professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We will jump to the Progressive Insurance guest line right now. Joining us, Broncos insider from Denver 7 ABC, Troy Renka's on the line. Hey, Troy, welcome to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Troy, we know we want to talk about the Denver Broncos, but obviously the big story is the Los Angeles Lakers getting Anthony Davis. What's your take?
Well, they're immediately relevant again. I mean, they're always relevant because of who they are and their brand. But they're going to have to get an outside shooter. LeBron's best, when he's at his best, he has Wade, he has Kyrie. So AD is one of the best 10 players in the league, for sure. But he doesn't necessarily make them a lot better unless he can get a spot-up shooter with him. So is that Kemba Walker? I don't know if he's a spot-up shooter, but he certainly can generate points from the outside. But it's a fascinating move. Good for the league. It's not great for the Pelicans necessarily this year, but AD wanted out. I totally get it. He'd done 7 years in New Orleans, and Zion's going to be the show there. So, you know, I watch a lot of Nuggets. They had a great run, and this is, in some ways, it's kind of good news for the Nuggets. Obviously, now Kawhi's not going there. Maybe ends up at the Clippers, maybe stays. But the West is open, given what happened to the Warriors in terms of injuries. So I like it. I just don't think it's, you know, them. They're not suddenly some favorite. They got at least two more pieces they got to add.
Sure. Hey, Troy, let's get to the Broncos. And starting off, Pat Bowlen, what did he mean to the Denver Broncos organization and that community?
Oh, he's simply the greatest owner in Colorado sports history. He bought the team for $60 million in 1984. Yes, his run coincided with John Elway being here, so that is part of it. But his legacy is 21 winning seasons in 35 years, 19 playoff berths, 7 Super Bowl appearances, 3 titles. And here's the stat I always tell people. It's 7 losing seasons, 7 Super Bowl appearances. That tells you the excellence that he demanded, the expectations he created. And when you walked into that building, I covered those teams from 96 to 2000, and then I came back to the football beat in 2014. But certainly in the 90s when I was covering the team, you felt the expectations even as a reporter walking in there. I mean, there was a way they did things, and Mike Shanahan helped take that to a new level. But, you know, he was one of the first owners to appreciate getting guys their own room on road trips, putting a seat between them on their charter flights out, get him the best technology, best chiropractor, best of everything. He wasn't the richest owner, but he was obsessed with winning. And I can honestly tell you, in 35 years of him owning the team, he never uttered the term rebuild, ever. It was about winning a Super Bowl every year, and that's why fans, he was so beloved with them.
What will the ownership shape up now as far as will it be a seamless type of transition? Will anybody notice the difference, or who will be taking charge?
Yeah, it's been a mess, frankly, the last couple of years. Joe Ellis is the operating CEO. He was placed in charge of the daily operations in 2014 as they went public with Mr. Bowlen's Alzheimer's diagnosis. And frankly, he wasn't really running the team even the year before that. And under Ellis, they won a Super Bowl in 15, but the last few years they had back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 1972. They struggled to get sponsorship on their own stadium. And now they have a three-person trust that Pat Bowlen created with two of his personal lawyers, essentially, and Joe Ellis. And they are in charge with picking out the best Bowlen sibling to run the team. There's 7 children that would be eligible. There's really only 2 that are candidates, and that's Brittany Bowlen, who's 29 years old, who did an internship with the NFL, who's going to soon be working with the Broncos again, who went to school at Notre Dame and Duke. So she's got she checks a lot of the boxes. Then Beth Bowlen Wallace, who was out of the picture for a number of years, she briefly worked for the Broncos. They said they let her go for performance reasons. She contests that. One of Pat's brothers is suing the team to get is in court currently trying to get the trust removed, which would benefit Beth Bowlen Wallace in her bid to run the team. The trust has already stated publicly they don't think Beth Bowlen Wallace is qualified. So long story short, it's become a little bit of a Shakespearean drama. As we sit here today, nothing would change in terms of Joe Ellis running the team. The favorite to become the operating owner of the Broncos is Brittany Bowlen, but she's 29, and there's no way it's going to happen like this year. I can't imagine it would happen at least for a couple years to have someone, you know, 30, 31 years old running a $2.7 billion business. But she is, as we sit here today, she would be considered the favorite.
Obviously, John Elway was Pat Bowlen's boy. Is there any possibility that whoever takes over, could John Elway be in the hot seat with another bad year?
No, not really. I mean, fans have he's received more criticism the last couple of years than he ever has as a player and as an executive. I mean, he was a Hall of Fame player, ended up winning a couple Super Bowls, and he had a remarkable start as an executive, turning the team around and then going to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. And obviously getting Peyton Manning was critical to that because it brought DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, Emmanuel Sanders, T.J. Ward. They have not hit in free agency in that same way. What killed them, though, they just had like 3 empty drafts. And last year they finally turned it around, stopped going for what I call showcase guys and weight room guys, started going for football players who were captains and experienced. And last year they had a remarkable draft class and rookie. I mean, I count Lindsey in that, even though he wasn't drafted, he was undrafted. But they really made headway in the way they picked their guys last year. So, but would he be under the hot seat? If he has another bad year and they miss the playoffs and go 6-10, there would be grumbling for sure. then it would be interesting. I think they believe they will be minimum 8-8, and they think this team has a chance to be back in the playoffs. That's all going to depend on Flacco. Can he, not just Joe Flacco, but can their offense caffeinate? They have been human C-SPAN offensively, just ridiculously boring and ineffective the last 3 years. So until they fix their offense, it's hard to get excited about this team. But they do believe Joe Flacco is a big upgrade over Case Keenum.
The diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan on the Progressive Insurance guest line, talking to Troy Rank, Broncos insider, Denver 7 ABC. Hey, Troy, you mentioned a little bit about Flacco. How has he looked?
Well, he still has his fastball.
All right.
That's for sure. I mean, a lot of my background, again, is in baseball, but the dude still throws rockets. He threw a ball in practice, you know, it's been a week now, but toward the end of their mandatory minicamp, probably 70 yards, 75 yards in the air now. No, I get it. How many times are you going to throw a ball like that in a game? But he still has his fastball. What's been interesting to me, guys, is that how the players respond to him, because there's plenty of national skepticism, which there should be. He hasn't been to the playoffs, led a team as a starter to the playoffs since 2014. He hasn't thrown more than 20 touchdown passes in a season since 2014. So there's a healthy bit of skepticism nationally that he can pull this off. But in the locker room, the players see a guy who's won 10 road playoff games, who has won a Super Bowl ring. And that resonates with them. Now, will that in September if they're 1-3? No. But it is right now. And they see him differently, frankly, than they saw Case Keenum. I mean, they respected Keenum, but there was this underlying feeling, was he a one-year wonder? And it turned out he was the Macarena. He was that. He was terrible last year in a lot of ways. But Flacco, the guys believe in him, and they believe in their new coach Fangio. So, but the whole key is this. They have a new offensive coordinator in Rich Scangarello, who's coming from the Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan tree. They need their tight end to be good. If Noah Fant is the guy I think he can be, and he can be a Hunter Henry type, where he's 550 yards, 7-8 touchdowns, third down threat, they have a chance to be pretty good. If he's not, then all of a sudden they're a predictable team with one aging receiver and two young receivers, and then everyone's going to just load up the box and stop the run. So, but they have more potential this year because of Flacco and, I believe, Noah Fant, the tight end they drafted.
What is the cap space situation? Also, it looks like they might have some secondary needs. How do you fill those?
Well, the one that's interesting is they didn't take linebacker Devin Bush in the first round, which everyone, you know, they were prepared to take him. And once Drew Locke started to fall and they sensed from their sources and during the draft that he was going to be available if they obtained another pick, they moved to 20, take Fant, and then end up with Locke. But they needed help at linebacker, and they're banking on Fangio's scheme, to answer your question. Fangio's scheme to kind of hide and camouflage some of their weaknesses. And because they've been terrible covering tight ends for the better part of 3 years. They've had issues, and any time they've had an injury to their secondary, they get exposed because they played like 90% man bump press coverage. Well, Fangio mixes coverage in. I've seen corner blitzes more regularly in practice than I saw in 3 years. And now, again, it worked with Wade Phillips when you had Tlaib and you had Harris and you had, you know, the no-fly zone. But when the personnel changed, they needed to alter the scheme because it didn't match. Now with Fangio, look for Bradley Chubb to have a huge year. Von Miller's talking 20 sacks. I don't know if he gets to that number, but I think he'll be better under Fangio. But Chubb could be, I'm not saying it's Khalil Mack, but it wouldn't shock me if he had 15 sacks this year. But they're not really looking to add. If they add at this point, they would be adding, you know, an ancillary piece like a backup offensive lineman kind of guy. There's no one really they're looking at to add that would you go, oh, wow, at least not right now. They're really comfortable with Fangio's scheme kind of camouflaging some of their weaknesses. And they did go out and get Kareem Jackson. They got Bryce Callahan. So they made a couple of big – and they got Juwan James. So they spent some money, a fair amount of money, certainly on James, in free agency they think is going to help them.
Hey, Troy, appreciate the time, and we'd like to talk to you later on down the line when it gets closer to the start of the season. Is that all right, buddy?
You got it, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great job. Thank you very much.
Here he is, Troy Rank, Broncos insider, Denver 7 ABC. And again, a lot of excitement going on there with Joe Flacco, Linehan. And,
yeah.
And obviously, he's not helping Drew Locke at all. He said, screw you, you're on your own.
That's good teamwork for you, huh? You go sit over there, son.
Hey!
This is the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio. We are the Diehards. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan, going right back to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. He is an NFL host for SiriusXM. Zig Fracassi's on the line.
He's a hockey guy, too, Pep. We like hockey guys.
He's a hockey guy. Zig, welcome to SB Nation Radio, the Diehards. How you doing, buddy?
Anthony, Mark, how you guys doing?
We're doing slightly better than the Houston Texans. What the hell is going on with that organization, man? They fire their GM, Brian Gain, 1.5 years into the job. The Texans go 11-5 last year, win the AFC South. What are they thinking?
You know, that's a great question. I know last weekend on our show we had the great John McClain on from the Houston Chronicle, and it became one of these things where Brian Gain happens to be a really good talent evaluator, but I guess to be a good general manager, I mean, you got to deal with the media, you got to be able to do, you know, a lot of other things in an administrative capacity, and maybe he was just, you know, a little bit, shy, a little bit deficient maybe in those areas. And the timing of it is rather amazing because you just went through the draft and you went through, you know, even the early part of free agency. So the timing of it's kind of bizarre. And then now, you know, it's no secret that they want a guy who can work well with Bill O'Brien. And there's also no secret that they would like, you know, the Patriots guy, Nick Caserio, who's very highly regarded. But I guess now that the Texans have dropped their pursuit of him, the Patriots have dropped their grievance, I'm wondering, guys, if maybe at some point that, you know, we've had coaches traded for, John Gruden's been traded for, you wonder, would the Texans go to that extreme and do it, or do they just go by a committee approach and maybe have Bill O'Brien be, in effect, their de facto GM? It is kind of bizarre, and, you know, this is a situation where it's worth monitoring. They interviewed two African-American candidates, Mayhew and Farmer, so was that a sham? It is quite a mystery going on in Houston. I don't know if anybody's got any answers for it right now.
Yeah, I'm wondering the same thing. What do you think the strategy was? Billy O'Brien, obviously from around here, he knows Belichick, he knows how it works. Dick Caserio is Belichick's guy. They really didn't have a leg to stand on as far as promotion, you know, to get the trade. They knew it was going to get vetoed. What's the strategy? Is to piss off Belichick?
Well, I'm sure, yeah. Well, I think it would take a little more to do that, but I just think it's one of these things where, you know, let's face it, they want a guy who can work directly with Bill O'Brien. It seems to be sort of the trend now because you look what's going on with the Jets. Obviously, they bring in Joe Douglas as their GM, and he had a good relationship with Adam Gase from their time when they were in Chicago. So this just seems to be more of the trend, I guess, going around the National Football League. It does make you wonder who really is calling the shots in Houston. It almost makes you think that Bill O'Brien is really that guy, and they're probably looking for somebody who can be, you know, friendly with them. I'm sure they'll go through the Patriots, you know, list of executives and see if they go with somebody else. I mean, Easter League's names has been mentioned too, so it's just a mess right now with what's going on in Houston. And obviously, they're in a situation now they need to win. You know, you got J.J. Watt coming back from injury. Deshaun Watson will be over his ACL. But this is a team that, you know, they've been kind of paper tigers in their existence. I mean, they get to the playoffs, but they get destroyed. The Colts did it in the wild card game. So there needs to be sort of an attitude adjustment. And now you're looking for a GM. And oh, by the way, Mr. McNair passed away, so now his son's running the team. We'll see how all of this dynamic ultimately plays out in Houston.
Yeah, I guess my question is that if you're Nick Caserio and you're pretty sure you know you're not going to be able to get this job, what is the point of, you know, you don't want to be on Belichick's bad list. You know, he's got no problem putting you in the corner, you know?
Right, or it's one of these things where, you know, I'd have to see the specifics to what his contract is.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's got one more year.
All right, so there you go. So maybe he just is the good soldier, pardon that pun, but the good guy, ride it out, and then ultimately he becomes, if you will, a prized free agent. We'll see what the Patriots ultimately do. I mean, if they value value him so much, I would think at some point they would have to at least bump his pay up and maybe give him an extra title to keep him around, because it's clear that the guy's in demand.
Yeah, I would think with him and Obi being tight, maybe it was just a cash grab for Caserio, but I can't see him. It's not a wise decision in these pots to get on the bad side of Coach Belichick.
Oh, absolutely not. And, you know, the guy's the greatest coach of the generation and all that. So we'll see how ultimately that this shakes out. But it's clear that, you know, the Texans would like Caserio, but will they wait a year to get him again and see who, after this year, who ultimately might need a GM if maybe Caserio thinks that that job is better than the one in Houston.
Zig Fricassi, Sirius XM NFL host, joining us here on SB Nation Radio, the diehards, Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan in Boston. Hey, Zig, and staying on the Patriots just for a second here, I'm always curious to get the national take. Rob Gronkowski retires. The Patriots trying to fill that void with bringing in 17 tight ends and trying to figure out who's the next Rob Gronkowski. I believe Gronk's going to come back and play. That's just me. What is the national feel for Gronkowski? Do they think he's going to play and not only in the NFL again, but in a Patriots uniform?
I think it's entirely possible. And that's a discussion that my co-host Alex at Marvez and I have had, and I think it's just one of those discussions where, you know, maybe he's just enjoying the time away, you know, partying and doing what he needs to do, and then if the Patriots come calling, obviously, by week 10, week 11, then maybe he does it. Although, you know, guys, the way I saw it last year was that this was a guy who performed like a guy that was going out, because it was clear to me that he was, you know, a bit compromised. He was never the fastest guy to begin with, but it seemed like when he was running patterns, he was really kind of laboring doing so. There were instances last year where I thought, you know, there were times they basically didn't use him in the pass game. I mean, he was basically, in that divisional playoff game, a glorified blocker. Then we saw vintage Gronk in the AFC Championship game, and then parts of that throughout the Super Bowl. So you had to think at some point that maybe the injuries and the fact that maybe he's got other things to do and that he is pretty wealthy and, you know, who knows, maybe he ultimately gets into film, he gets into WWE. So I think there's some that believe he's going to come back, but I don't know. I just don't get that vibe. I know as we speak here, what, the middle of June, that, yeah, he's going to stay retired, but I don't know. I think, again, quality of life, and he seems to be beneath that, you know, goof type of guy. He's really pretty sharp in terms of management of his money and all this kind of thing. My hunch is that he stays retired, but I could be wrong on that. I think there's others that think he'll come out to, you know, and unretire. I know what Watson was brought back in. I know that trade with Roberts with Detroit was voided, so there had been some talk about them trying to go out and get Kyle Rudolph before he ultimately signed that extension with the Vikings. So the Patriots may not be done yet looking at their tight end position. But me, if I had to make a wager on it right now, I don't think he comes back.
You know, you look around the league, Carson Wentz, he signs a record for guaranteed QB money, and some are calling it a cap-friendly, team-friendly deal. Which one is it?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually both. I mean, obviously, he's getting his windfall, you know, for being a fine quarterback. But, you know, I think it's probably a bit of a calculated gamble in the sense that, you know, as good as he's been, you know, there have been injuries. Let's not forget the ACL, also, you know, the back injury from last year. So you're gambling, I guess, a bit if you're Howie Roseman, that he ultimately stays healthy, that they, you know, keep him horizontal in terms of better protection and utilizing that, what I believe is to be a pretty good ground game. So it's a good move. Obviously, you want to lock in your quarterback long term. The Eagles, you know, gave up a king's ransom to get him, and they still value him as a, you know, franchise quarterback. So I think it's a win-win, although, again, the injuries, if I'm an Eagles fan, it does kind of concern me a little bit. But if he stays on the field, the Eagles are a legit contender in the NFC.
You know, similar quarterback situation, Dak Prescott, does he deserve a similar deal, or do you see the Cowboys eventually moving on from him?
Oh, no, he's their guy. I don't think there's any question about that. But then, you know, you could always designate him, you know, ultimately with the franchise. You could control them for another, I would think, 2 years. But, you know, it's clear that Jerry wants him around. It's clear Dak is the franchise quarterback. And to that point, you know, you bring in John Kitna, a longtime NFL quarterback, to be the coach. Kellen Moore, who was, you know, Dak's backup not even a couple of years ago, is now the offensive coordinator. And I think all the moves they've made there in Dallas are with the, you know, to make it, as the big term last summer, guys, was Dak friendly. And I think, you know, he showed some progress last year. When the game gets into the fourth quarter, you know, I don't know if there's, other than Brady, than maybe Dak Prescott that has the most come from behind wins. So there's a lot of faith there. Does he get Carson Wentz kind of money? I'm not sure about that, but I would think that, you know, he'll definitely be well compensated. He'll be the Cowboys quarterback for the next decade.
Hey, what do you think of that Kellen Moore becoming the offensive coordinator? Again, a young kid, came out of Boise State, had all those wins. I believe he's at the record books or top of the records of the most wins in as a QB.
I know he has most wins on a blue field.
College football history. Obviously, the kid had some skills, but you know, and obviously some talent. But, you know, literally right away, he's a backup for 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's an offensive coordinator. What do you think of that move?
I liked it a lot because here's a guy that's really sharp, really smart, and I always wondered if he had, like, the Aaron Rodgers arm and, you know, some of the, like a Dak Prescott build or durability, you'd have the ultimate quarterback because this kid is very, very sharp. I mean, even in, you know, Cowboys meetings and all that, they would talk about, you know, just how he could diagram a play and just be creative with it. And I think he's going to offer a few more wrinkles and a little fresher approach, you know, than Scott Linehan did when he was the offensive coordinator. And I think the fact that, you know, he is still close proximity in age to Dak, and the fact that, you know, the offense around him, there's still a lot of younger guys. I think that sort of camaraderie, that approach, and his innovative style. Again, he won a lot of games in college, and he's hung around the NFL because of his smarts. I even said when he was drafted, I go, maybe he doesn't make it as a NFL quarterback, but I think he's going to be a coach, if not a coordinator, because he's so highly thought of. And they are going to do some different things, different wrinkles in Dallas. So I like that move quite a bit. I think he's going to, who knows, maybe in a couple of years, he may be looked upon as the head coach, depending on what goes on with Jason Garrett.
Hey, Zig, tell our listening audience how they can find you and your show on SiriusXM.
We're on, I'm primarily on Saturdays and Sundays, 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's Channel 88 and the SiriusXM app. And then, of course, you can always get me on Twitter at Zig, Z-I-G, Fracassi, F-R-A-C-A-S-S-I. I always love interacting with the fans.
Hey, Zig, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk
guys,
to you later on down the line.
I'll see you at the Bruins parade.
Hey, they had a hell of a year. You know, St. Louis had the hot goalie in Binnington, who, by the way, was a Providence Bruins goalie.
I know, believe me.
This past year, you know?
Too soon.
Yeah. They'll be back. They'll be good for a while, believe me.
All right, I feel better now.
Hey, Zig, thank you so much, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he is again, Zig Fracassi, SiriusXM NFL host. You catch him on the weekends. Follow him on Twitter.
You didn't even get to ask him his CFL picks.
Well, we'll get to those CFL picks later on down the line.
Rough Riders? Another time.
Rough
Riders, maybe?
Yeah, of course. He's Mark Linehan. I'm Anthony Pepe.
O'Reilly.
You're listening to the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
Woo!
You're locked in to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
And we are back. It is SB Nation Radio, the Diehards, Pepe Linehan. Let's talk travel. Most of us do little travel throughout the year. How are you booking your hotel rooms? I got a suggestion for you. BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide.
That's a lot of hotels.
Lots. And extended these discounts to you.
To who?
You.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
Simply go to BestHotelRates.com, plug in your destination. Dates of travel, and it's not Frank Viola, it's voila, or as I like to say, I got rid of that, I just went boom.
Boom, there you go.
All right? You're looking at it.
Voila.
discounted rate for many of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else.
Do they
have
like Holiday Inns in Mississippi?
Save your money. Book your hotels through besthotelrates.com.
I'm going to right now.
Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation, so your stay is safe and secure.
Awesome.
Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today.
Do they have continental breakfast?
It is in the name. It always comes back to food with you. Besthotelrates.com. So you like the trade for the Lakers and not so much for the Pelicans. I'm a little confused.
I think I might like it the other way around now. I changed my mind.
All right. You realize what the Pelicans get here. I mean, they get a heck of a lot. Again,
plus, it's New Orleans.
I know.
You can have some gumbo and a hurricane at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's some guy playing some band with a trombone. You know, you can eat some shrimp, some po' boys, some rich boys. You can have whatever you want in New Orleans. L.A.? No, you can have sushi. That's it.
AD is one of the best, if not the best, in the business. We know that.
Yep.
But everything the Lakers gave up, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, three first-rounders, obviously those are
all.
What
happens if LeBron gets hurt, just like Golden State?
I don't know. Who knows?
And I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think I know. But
you don't know what you're going to get in these draft picks. You don't know what you get in the fourth pick in Thursday's draft. You just don't know. But the reality is it seems like the Pelicans fleeced the Lakers. I don't know. It seems like they got so much for Anthony Davis. And, again, I know he's one of the best of the best. He's a top five player. We get all that.
I think a lot of it was that they couldn't trade him anywhere where he didn't promise to stay. You know, so that kind of helped. That's why he's not your neighbor in Boston.
I mean, yeah, Danny Ainge couldn't
give up. This is the neighborhood where all the NBA players live.
Right? Danny Ainge couldn't give up.